We'll be looking at verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10. Perhaps you saw this email message floating around cyberspace this week. It comes from what sounds like a pretty stressed out mom to me. She says, "I wish I were a bear. If you're a bear, you get to hibernate. You do nothing but sleep for 6 months. I could get used to that." And another thing, before you hibernate, you're supposed to eat yourself stupid. That wouldn't bother me either. If you're a mama bear, everyone knows you mean business. You swat anyone who bothers you or your cubs. If your cubs get out of line, you swat them too. Your husband expects you to growl when you wake up. He expects you to have hairy legs and excess body fat. He likes it. "I wish I were a bear," she said. Being a mother is a great honor and a great privilege. And there's much joy in motherhood, but it can also be very stressful at times. According to a survey by Ladies Home Journal, 85% of women say that motherhood is the best thing that ever happened to them. But 70% of all mothers consider motherhood incredibly stressful. As I look at the demands that are placed upon mothers in this society, I get tired just thinking about it. So much responsibility, so many things pulling at them from every direction. Taking care of the house, the home, the dishes, the laundry, the cleaning, the husbands, the kids, and if you have smaller children, it can be so demanding. And then many moms are in the workforce today, and so they're juggling so much, and they're stretched so thin, and moms can easily get stressed out. Listen, busy mom, my prayer this morning is that Jesus himself would give you some stress relief. That you would get some principles from him this morning. And you know, really for all of us, we're busy, aren't we? So many irons in the fire. So many things going on. All of us pulled in different directions. My prayer is for all of us that we'd get some stress relief from Jesus. Look what Jesus says in our text this morning. It's a familiar text for those of us who have been around church for a while. In verse 38, Luke chapter 10, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's traveling with his disciples. No doubt the 12 apostles are with him: Peter, James, John, Matthew, Judas, and the rest. But it's also very likely that a large group of disciples are traveling with Jesus. So Jesus is with a large group of disciples. They've been going for a long time. There's a bunch of hungry guys with Jesus. It says here in Luke that they entered a certain village. We know what that village was from other gospel accounts. This village is called Bethany. Bethany was a small little village located on the lower eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, a couple miles away from Jerusalem. And it would seem that Jesus had made good friends with a family there in Bethany who owned a house. The house belonged to two sisters and a brother: Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, whom Jesus would raise from the dead in John chapter 11. Now, this household, you can really tell who's in charge. Martha, she's the elder sister and she's the go-getter. And you can really see that Martha is in charge of that household. Now, I love the detail at the end of verse 38. It says, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. Jesus was a welcome guest there. I like that detail. Jesus needs to be welcome in our houses, doesn't he? Is Jesus welcome in your house? Is he allowed to roam freely in your house? Does Jesus hang out at your house? I sure hope so. Do you speak of Jesus often at the dinner table? Is Jesus the topic of conversation? When you wake up every morning, do you say good morning to Jesus? As a family with devotionals or prayers? I sure hope so, because Jesus, if he's in your house, he'll make your home beautiful. Gorgeous. Well, Martha has welcomed Jesus into her house. Now, this word welcome is a very specific word in the Greek. It's a technical word. It's the Greek word hupodekomai. Don't need to remember that word. Dekomai simply means to receive, and hupo means under. So it means to receive under your roof. To receive under your care. It's hospitality. So Jesus and his disciples are traveling. They come to Bethany, and Martha, Mary, and Lazarus are going to show hospitality to this group of disciples. And you're going to see that Martha wants this to be a very special occasion. She wants things to go just right. She's got men of God in her house. She's got Jesus in her house, the one that everybody's talking about. The guy that many people are saying is the Messiah. And so Martha wants everything to go just so. I think she's sort of like Martha Stewart in this passage. Just wanting it all to be just right. In those days, there were elaborate displays of hospitality. When you went over to somebody's house to eat, it was a very big deal. And when there was a big gathering, it was very festive. And people really put a lot of time and energy into it. When the guests would arrive, they would take their sandals off, and a servant would wash their feet. Then the guests would have their heads anointed with oil. Then all the guests were given a drink of water. Then everybody was seated, and there was a lot of care put into seating arrangements, placements around the table. There was a place for the guest of honor, and then for the person that would sit at the right hand and the left hand, and that was a very, very big deal. A lot of time and attention was put into that. Then once everybody was seated, everybody was given a starter, which happened to be a glass of wine that was diluted by honey. And so they'd sit around and they'd drink that glass of diluted wine. Then would begin the main dinner, which is called the cena, C-E-N-A. Three courses brought in for that main dinner. The food carefully arranged on trays, and it was very decorative, a real big deal. Everybody sitting. In would come tray number one. Ooh, look at the food. And then all the food would get passed out, and they'd munch out on it, and then it would be clear. Then tray number two. And here they come in, and the food is beautifully arranged, and they'd partake of that. And then it'd be cleared off. And then tray number three. Here comes the third course. Everybody would partake and eat of that. And then there was the dessert. Pastries and fruit. And then after that, there would be entertainment, perhaps music, poetry, dancing, drama. And so that's how these big gatherings would go. And it is my opinion here that that is the type of evening that Martha has in mind for Jesus and his disciples. She wants to put on this amazing feast, this wonderful, wonderful evening for everyone there. However, things go wrong. It seems that once everybody gets seated, Jesus early on, perhaps during the first course, begins to teach. He begins to share the word with everybody that's gathered. Mary leaves the pots and pans. She leaves the kitchen and she says, Jesus is teaching. I need some of that. And she goes and she sits right at the feet of Christ to drink in and take in every word. Martha freaks. Martha becomes an absolute mess. She gets in a tizzy. She's this perfectionist. She's this A-type personality. She wants this evening to go just so, and it's not happening, and she absolutely loses it. Look what it says in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Isn't that amazing? That's a stressed out woman. She wishes she could be a bear, I'm sure. What's her problem here? What is the primary problem with Martha? Well, it tells us there, Martha was distracted with much serving. The Greek word for distracted is very rare. This is the only time it's found in the entire New Testament. And I just want to mention it to you. Again, you don't need to memorize it or anything, but it's the word perispao. Perispao, distracted. Spao means to be dragged, to be pulled, to be driven. Peri means around. The word carries with it the idea that it speaks of somebody who is being dragged all around. Pulled all around. Pulled in all kinds of different directions at the same time. This is where Martha is. All the details of that evening are pulling her around in every direction. She is no longer in charge of the details. The details have taken charge of her. And she's just being dragged around. She is worried. She is anxious. She is troubled. She is agitated. And she totally loses it. Martha basically had a public meltdown here, didn't she? It says in verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him. Now, that's an explosive act in the Greek word language. The idea is she barged in on Jesus. She rushed him. She burst suddenly upon him. In other words, she interrupted his teaching. She interrupted the whole meeting. There Jesus is teaching, and this freaked out, frazzled woman comes in. And everybody's like, whoa, lady. Chill. And look what she says. You can tell she's under so much stress, poor Martha. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? There's a stressed out person. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I'm serving all by myself here. Nobody else is helping. Don't you care?
And Mary, she's left me, that bad sister. And this is all public. She becomes critical, judgmental, rash, self-pity. And I actually think it's pretty sneaky what she does here. This is all taking place publicly. She goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, you tell her to help me. That's sneaky. She could have just gone to Mary and said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute outside? Let's share. But no, she goes to Jesus. You tell her to help me. I don't like that. And you know, I've actually seen Christians do that in a group prayer setting. You know, when a bunch of people are together and they're praying, I've seen people get very sneaky in their prayers. I've heard a wife pray a prayer like this in a group meeting with her husband sitting right next to her. Lord, please speak to my husband. Show my husband that he's absolutely wrong. And that he really needs to grow up. And you and I both know, Lord, that he's a creep. And he's ungodly. And they just go on and on and on like that. Don't pray like that. That's kind of what Martha's doing here. Lord, help her. Tell her to help. Oh, she's so stressed out. This is where you and I get many times in life, right? We get peri-spa-o'd. We get in situations in life where we are being dragged around by so many different things, and you know you are under a great amount of stress when you begin to behave like Martha does here. When you begin to barge in on people with your problem, when you cop this attitude like nobody cares, when you run around thinking that you're the only one that's doing anything, and when you become harsh and critical with other people. Many moms get there. All of us get there at times like that. What can we do to get out of that place? And what can we do in our lives as Christians to see to it that we don't get to that place? Well, I don't recommend doing what some people in the world do. You know, there was a survey done with top corporate executives, and they were asked how they relieve stress. One guy says that he likes to throw plates one after another against the wall until the stress leaves. That's scary. I don't suggest that. Another guy says, and I thought this was sort of funny, he likes to sing opera at the top of his lungs whenever he's kept on hold in the telephone. Can you just picture that? Another guy says he likes to fiddle with silly putty during all of his meetings. Another corporate executive said that he likes to play hockey out in the company parking lot. And that's how he relieves stress. I want us to relieve stress the right way, the godly way. Look what Jesus says to Martha. Verse 41. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I love that Jesus doesn't blast her. Isn't that neat? He could have really said, Martha, chill. You're spazzing out. Get a grip. But he doesn't. He says, Martha, Martha. And whenever you see the name repeated twice anywhere in Scripture, that's indicating endearment. It's indicating intimacy. It's indicating love and concern. Jesus loves Martha. Oh, Martha. Martha.
I love you. I care. Aren't you glad Jesus is so patient with us? Aren't you glad that he accepts us warts and all? With all our bad sides? And that even when we get all stressed out and overwhelmed and start acting like bears, he still loves us. Cares about us. And look what he says to her. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Jesus, tell her to help me. Jesus says to Martha, I will not. Mary can stay put. She's chosen the better thing. And I would recommend that you, Martha, also do likewise. There are two principles here that stand out that help us with stress. One is very, very practical. And here it is. Guys, gals, moms, dads, parents, busy executives, we need to have shorter lists in life. Let me say that again. We need to have shorter lists in life. We need to decide what are going to be the values and the priorities and the main tasks in our life. Put them at the top of a short list and stick to them. Look at the great contrast here in verse 41 and 42. There's many things versus one thing. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. In other words, Martha, you need a shorter list. Martha had totally forgotten what the main reason for the gathering was, hadn't she? She had totally forgotten that Jesus was the main event, not her creme brulee. The main purpose of the gathering there was for everyone to spend time with Jesus, to hang out with Jesus, to hear from Jesus. That should have been at the top of her list, but no, she's got a larger list with all these different things to do. She missed the big picture. She was missing the main deal. One Bible commentator advises Martha, Martha, a casserole would have been fine, not a smorgasbord. Another commentator says, Jesus wasn't so concerned about the seasoning in the beans, the dust on the floor, the way the napkins were folded. He was concerned that his life-changing word, get out, that those in the house would hear what he had to say. One thing, the better things. Shorten the list. And I think if we could apply that formula to our lives in every area of our lives, that would alleviate a whole lot of stress, folks. A whole lot of stress. See what the main thing is and focus on that. A little over 11 years ago, I met my wife. And we got engaged and we began to plan a wedding. Terry got stressed. There were a lot of details that we had to, you know what it's like, wanting it to go just so. And at one point, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I will, publicly. At one point, Kim and I were shopping for food that we would have at the reservation. And I was just trying to make sure that we were just getting the right amount. I actually, in the aisle at Target, opened up a box of crackers. I forget what brand, and I begin to count each cracker in the box. She still married me. I mean, and it was like that. I just got so consumed with those things. Finally, a very, very good friend in the Lord came to me. In fact, you met him a few weeks ago, Paul Cox, dear friend, my life. He sat me down and he said, "Terry, the goal here is to get married. That's the goal. The goal is to be married. To look Kim in the eyes and say those vows before her and God and all the witnesses." And as soon as I was reminded of that, it was cool. And all the other details, they just sort of come along. In a wedding ceremony, is everybody really all that concerned about the crackers? The cake? You know what the most special part of a wedding is when that husband and wife-to-be turn and hold hands and look in each other's eyes and say the vows. That's beautiful, isn't it? If you got that, you've got the main event. You've got the main deal. But see, we become like stressed out Martha when we worry about the crackers and all the other things. And I think you can apply that to every area in your life, in your career, in your business. What are the things that you need to do well and be very good at and focused at? Pick those. If you got too much stuff going on, you'll be spread too thin. Every day when you wake up, get a short list. And as Christians, you have priorities always at the top of your list. I will spend time with God because I love God. I will love my family and spend time with my family. I will love people and spend time with people. I will do these things that matter the most. How many of you always complete and check off everything on your list every day? Oh my goodness, one hand? I don't think I've checked off every item in my to-do list ever. Because there's always so much to do and there's always something that goes out. And there's always adjustments that you have to make. Make a shorter list. Concentrate your energy. Martha, you're worried and troubled with many things, but there's one thing. Very practical advice. Moms, I would tell you, I know things get so crazy in life, but make sure that you're loving your children and that you're spending time with your children. And not letting all the things that take place in life take you away from that. We have this beautiful little poem that we've had on our refrigerator in the past. Perhaps you've seen this. It's called "A Small Handprint on the Wall." It says, One day as I was picking the toys up off the floor, I noticed a small handprint on the wall beside the door. I knew that it was something that I'd seen most every day, but this time when I saw it there, I wanted it to stay. Then tears welled up inside my eyes. I knew it wouldn't last, for every mother knows her children grow up way too fast. Just then, I put my chores aside, and I held my children tight. I sang to them sweet lullabies and rocked into the night. Sometimes we take for granted all those things that seem so small, like one of God's great treasures, a small handprint on the wall. Take that time. Don't squelch away all that time. What matters most, Mom? Live for that. Focus
and be directed towards that. That's the practical lesson. Now let's get the spiritual lesson. And this is so important. If you're a Christian here this morning, then this is absolutely key to living a victorious life and a stress-free life in Christ Jesus. As Christians, it is absolutely necessary that we maintain a personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen? It is absolutely essential that we are personally connected to Christ and nourishing our relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, in 41, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part." What did Mary choose? She chose to leave the pots and pans, although she was helping. Don't miss that. Martha was serving. So was Mary. They were all serving together. But when Jesus began to teach, that's when Mary said, "Wait a minute, I'm going to go sit at his feet." She went to sit at his feet. And it's an awesome thing. If you look throughout the New Testament, every time you see this Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. Here she's at his feet. In John chapter 11, when she's stricken with grief, Lazarus, her brother, has died. She falls at Christ's feet. In John chapter 12, when they're having another dinner in the house of Bethany and Lazarus has been raised from the dead, you see this Mary once again at the feet of Jesus, and this time she's pouring perfume all over his feet, washing his feet, and drying his feet with her hair. Mary would sit at the feet of Jesus Christ to hear from him in the posture of a disciple hearing from the master. Mary would fall at Christ's feet in dependence upon him. Mary would fall at Christ's feet worshiping him. Mary was completely and totally occupied with Christ. She heard from him. She spent time with him. Brother and sister in Christ, in the busyness of life, let's have a little merriness in our life. Amen? Spending time with your Lord personally, hearing from him personally, worshiping him personally. It says all over Scripture, Psalm 27, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." In Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you." Proverbs chapter 8. "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door." Blessed is the person who waits upon the Lord. I love this verse in the Song of Solomon. The lady says, "Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." That is a beautiful description of what takes place as you spend time with Jesus Christ. He's your shade. He's your fruit. He's your nourishment. And now some of you are saying, "Terry, I'm already stressed out. Why are you giving me something else to do?" please, 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 I hope you don't see it like that. If you are a born-again Christian, as Jesus says here, one thing is needed. In other words, it is an absolute necessity. It is for your benefit. When you spend personal time with Christ, you get energy. You get joy. You get peace. And you get direction. It's like drinking from this well that gives you all that nourishment and strength, and you're ready to go get them. And the priorities in your life become crystal clear. And Jesus Christ, listen, will actually begin to live His wonderful life through you. Through you. As you depend upon Him. I think it's sort of tragic what some folks do with this passage. There's a lot of people that really give Martha a very, very hard time. And they spend the whole time trying to convert Martha's into Mary's. I don't think we should see that passage like that. Martha meant well, didn't she? She wants to give this great evening, and she's serving, and that's good. She was occupied for Christ. The only problem is that she first forgot to be occupied with Christ. And that is the key. We must be occupied with Christ. And then you can be occupied for Christ. And believe me, if you're occupied with Christ, you're going to be a whole lot more pleasant of a person to be around. In your serving. And in your life. I think there's a great poem that captures this. I love this. Martha in the kitchen, serving with her hands, occupied for Jesus with her pots and pans, loving Him yet fevered, burdened to the brim. Careful, troubled Martha, occupied for Him. Mary, on the footstool, eyes upon her Lord, occupied with Jesus, drinking in His word. This one thing was needful, all else strangely dim, loving, resting Mary, occupied with Him. So may we, like Mary, choose the better part, resting in His presence, hands and feet and heart, drinking in His wisdom, strengthened by His grace, waiting for the summons, eyes upon His face. When it comes, we're ready, spirit, will, and nerve, Mary's heart to worship, Martha's hand to serve. That's the rightful order. As our lamps we trim, occupied with Jesus, then occupied for Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes this morning. Hey, all you busy moms out there, you don't really want to be a bear, do you? Wouldn't you rather just be a wonderful mother? An effective mother? An effective woman of God? Shorter lists. And do not neglect your personal time with Jesus. For all of us, that's the priority. With every head bowed and eyes still closed, I'd like to give an invitation this morning. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, welcome Jesus into their house. Have you welcomed Jesus into your heart? Have you welcomed Him into your life? You know, on Mother's Day, a lot of people will come to church to please mom. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of mothers that pray fervently for husbands and children, and dads and moms. One of the most fervent prayers a mom will pray is for the salvation of her children, of a spouse. Maybe you've come to church this morning sort of as a favor. I believe that the Lord Himself has brought you to church this morning, and that He has a word for you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to forgive you of all your sins. He wants to give you salvation. He wants you to respond to the gospel message this morning. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again the third day. And the scripture says that if someone will confess that He is Jesus, He is the Son of God, and confess that they are sinners in need of a Savior, and ask Christ to come into their lives, their hearts, Jesus will, and all your sins will be forgiven. Oh, and then you've got Jesus with you to walk with you, and He will help you through the pressures of life. You'll survive and thrive. Is there anyone here this morning who needs to receive Christ, maybe for the first time? You need to receive Jesus into your heart. Would you raise your hand up high if that's you? Raise your hand up high and say, this morning I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Anyone here? You have one, just a few more moments. Then let's all stand together and let's sing.
Savior, you
Amen. Amen. No mom is allowed to wash one dish today. Pastor's orders. Okay? Got it? Go in the peace of the Lord. Enjoy your mom.